Hello and welcome to the Niagara Guide Podcast. This podcast covers topics related to living, working, and playing in Niagara. Thank you for joining us for episode number one. Today we are talking trash, or more accurately, about waste. Have you ever struggled with recycling properly? Today you'll meet Jane Gadsby of the Eco Defenders, who will share how her group reduces wasted events by over 90% through recycling. So it's Mark Kawabi here from the Niagara Guide, and I would like to introduce to our listening audience Jane Gadsby from the Eco Defenders. And the Eco Defenders is one of our community partners with the Niagara Guide. So we provide free advertising and also do some fundraising opportunities for them. So anyway, Jane, welcome to our whatever podcast that we're on right now.
Thank you so much, Mark. Good to be here.
So, Jane, we've known each other for
a long time.
But it's funny. We haven't seen each other a lot, but we've sort of kept in touch on Facebook, and I know that you've been active in the Eco Defenders for a number of years now, but I don't know exactly when. So, can you give me a bit of history on when the group started and what the purpose is?
Well, sure. It all started with the Beamsville Strawberry Festival. I was on the committee for that, and we were trying to come up with ways to handle the garbage and recycling. So in 2007, we started the Eco Defenders as a way for kids to actually earn points and toys by bringing us recyclables. So they bring in, you know, a can, and they get a point, and then they could pick from balls and toys. And we eventually worked up to bigger prizes. However, the festival ended in 2012, and we didn't want to end the Eco Defenders, so we moved it on to other events, and we added sorting compostables and garbage and all of that stuff.
Okay, now this is the part that amazes me, because so I'm used to going to restaurants and places and public spaces, and they have recycling bins and they have waste bins, but you take a different approach to how you handle the waste of generated events.
Oh, yes, very much. We take away all the garbage cans. They're all gone. And we put out our We Sort, their yellow bins. And people can put their garbage in that, but they know once it goes into a We Sort bin, we're going to be sorting it. And it'll be sorted right, so that compost will end up composted and recyclables recycled. And in the end, there's usually very little garbage. We average between 5 to 10% of trash actually ends up in garbage. The rest, all recycled and composted.
So you're saying that at a community event that you would be at, instead of, you know, two or three dumpsters full of garbage that would just be hauled off to landfill, when the Eco Defenders are there, you're able to reduce that waste by up to 90 to 95%?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Almost everything is either compostable or recyclable. Anything that was once alive is compostable. That's wood, that's paper, that's all the food. And if you think of what's going at an event, if you think of what's going into the trash, how much of that is that stuff? And we save that and make sure it goes to Davidson Environmental, and they compost it, make wonderful fertilizers and things. So,
now, it's amazing to me that that level of sorting can be done. So how many people do you have when you're working an event? How many waste sorters do you take out to these things?
Well, our core group is about 20 people that I can rely on, that they'll come out to almost anything I do. But other than that, we get the casual volunteers, people who come out for one or two events, kids who are working off their 40 hours of volunteer work for high schools and things like that. But often we get the people who, they just love this and they keep coming back, because I know this sounds weird, Mark, it's a lot of fun. We do a lot of laughing and carrying on. We sing songs in the tent. We're crazy. And it's a lot of fun.
So, I never would have pictured sorting waste as fun, but, you know, it's the people that make the difference, I guess.
Well, it's true. Yeah. It's true. There's a million jokes you can make about garbage. Trust me. They've made them all.
Oh, I'm sure. So you've got these core volunteers. How many events do you wind up doing over the course of a year?
Well, last year we did 12 sorting events, plus a butt blitz and some other, you know, informational things like volunteer fairs and stuff. But 12 events where we went out and sorted, like Rib Fest in St. Catharines, a Chicken Wing Festival in Port Dalhousie, Balls Falls Craft Show, one of our biggest, those kind of events.
Now, when you go to something like Rib Fest,
yes,
that's a huge event.
10,000 people a day.
And so your volunteers are there sorting
all the ribs and all the corn and everything else. Yes, we sort it.
Now, when you say that you can reduce up to 90 to 95%,
yeah,
are you going by weight, by volume?
Yes, by weight.
By weight.
So we generally weigh almost everything at an event. Some events like Rib Fest, it's a little more difficult because they measured by dumpsters. But other events, yeah, we have a scale and we weigh it.
So how many pounds of waste would you normally process at an event?
Oh, gosh. It depends on the event. Like,
yeah,
something like Rib Fest in 2017, we had 12 metric tons of compost alone at that event.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Well, in the last 3 years, we have processed over 49 metric tons of compost. This is stuff that's now been redirected that doesn't end up in a landfill, that is composted, and it's wonderful. And over 13 metric tons of recyclables. So
that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Now, one of the things that you mentioned, mm-hmm, and I have to go back to this because,
okay,
the name, just the name alone,
okay,
caught my attention. What exactly is the butt blitz?
The butt blitz is amazing. A Greener Future is a group out of Toronto, and they have been coordinating this for the last 3 years. And it's across the country. I think there were 20-some-odd communities did it last year, and they're hoping for more this year. Communities volunteer to go out and pick up cigarette butts on a particular day. And all those cigarette butts are counted. Trust me, we count them. We had over 9,000 here in Beamsville last year. And then they're sent to Toronto to TerraCycle. TerraCycle is an amazing Toronto company that recycles things no one else is recycling. And they take those cigarette butts and they break it down so into the plastic components and make plastic shipping pallets out of them. So they are totally reusable plastic shipping pallets. Instead of just contaminating the waterways, because a cigarette butt does not biodegrade for many, many, many years, between 20 and 100 years to biodegrade.
Now, I'm not a smoker myself,
yep,
but for those who aren't,
yeah,
or maybe for those who are and maybe don't know what is in a cigarette, but
yep,
what's in it? What's
gosh,
it made
don't
of?
Ask me the chemical components because I don't know chemicals very much. But basically, there's a lot of plastic and toxic chemicals. And one cigarette butt, if you put a cigarette butt into a liter of water, it's toxic enough it kills fish. One butt. So you can imagine all those butts getting into our waterways, contaminating our waterways, and we need to stop that. We need to dispose of these things properly, and TerraCycle will do it. So let's send those butts to TerraCycle.
Yeah, I see every now and then somebody,
yep,
will, you know, I'll be driving on the QEW, and
yep,
I'll see the telltale sparking of someone who's tossed a cigarette out the window. And
well, there's a fallacy out there, I think a lot of smokers either believe it or they want to believe it, that they biodegrade, and they don't. Tobacco is biodegradable. The tobacco part's not the problem, it's the filter. Take a look at them sometime. They're plastic, and you know, there's chemicals in there that just, they're not good. Not good.
I can imagine. So the EcoDefenders has been around since 2007.
Yep.
So we're in 2019. You're celebrating your, do the math, 12 years.
12 years, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does the organization sustain itself? Like, you're a nonprofit organization. You're run by volunteers.
Yeah.
How do you keep the thing going?
Well, donations. We get all the groups that ask us out to work for them give us a donation so we can cover costs. Some are very generous, and that's lovely. It helps us get equipment. And believe me, equipment breaks down and you have to replace it. It's just a fact of life. We also sell ice cream every Tuesday night at Charles Daly Park during the summer. And that usually gets us like $1,500 in a year. And so far, that's how we've made it. We'd like to expand, though.
Now, I'm just trying to imagine, you know, when you're sorting waste,
yeah,
the kind of equipment you need. So I'm thinking you must have, you know, tons of bins. And I've seen photos, yes, of your events. So you've got, yeah, you've got tents to obviously protect, yes, the volunteers from the elements.
Yes, and, yes. Yeah, we also have our carts because we have mobile sort carts that go out and walk around in the event. Well, the carts don't walk on their own, but they're pulled around the events. And we sort right in front of people. So those carts, they need to be bought. They need to be maintained. Gloves. We go through a lot of gloves.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yes, because, yeah, you don't want to be handling this stuff without protection. But, you know, you also have everything from, you know, bags. You need recycling bags. You need garbage bags. Cleansers. I need to get snacks for my volunteers to keep them going, and beverages. And there's a lot of stuff.
Right. So if somebody wants to get involved, they can,
please,
certainly give you a call. And
absolutely.
And what's the, you know, how much notice do people get if they say, if they're on the call list and there's an event coming up, what's sort of the process? How do you?
Well, I have a newsletter that goes out to all my volunteers and tells them what's coming up, and they tell me what they can and can't volunteer for, and that's great. I also send out notices to schools, because there's a lot of kids out there that need to work off their volunteer hours. But that's the basic process. Either email me, subscribe to the new newsletter, subscribe to our Facebook page, or call me.
Okay. Now, there's going to be links in this podcast or in the descriptions of the podcast with all of the information on how to get in touch with Jane. Here's one thing. So in a perfect world.
Perfect world. Yes.
Perfect world. You wouldn't exist.
True.
Well, not you personally, but the Eco Defenders. The Eco Defenders wouldn't exist because people would know, yes, how to sort their waste properly.
That, I guess that's true, yes.
But obviously, we don't.
Obviously. So. Yes and no. There's a lot of people that don't know because it can be confusing. I mean, if you're sitting there holding a popsicle stick, you might not know that it's compostable because it's wood. But it is. So I can see how that's confusing. But there's a lot of people out there that just don't care. And I watch them throw, you know, like tin foil into a green bin or, you know, things like that. And it really is, it's frustrating. They just think, the earth will take care of itself. And it won't.
No, I can certainly see how that would be frustrating because I'm thinking that, okay, so I'm going to give away something really important here. I'm 49. And I'm turning 50 this year, okay? So take it easy on me. But because I'm still young to some people.
You're a youngin'. You're a youngin'.
I'm still young to some people, and I'm decrepitly old to others. So, hi, kids. So anyway, but my generation, we didn't have recycling when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of kicked in our teens and 20s for my generation that this is an important thing to do.
Yep.
And, but so I know that for my children, they've always grown up around the green box, the blue box, the gray box. These things have been there for their entire lives.
Yeah.
And yet it still seems to be a challenge.
Well, all you have to do is go to a food court. And you know how they have, in most food courts, they have a bin for recycling and a bin for garbage. And just watch. And you'll see all the people that throw recycling into the garbage or just throw their garbage into the recycling. You just have to sit and watch. It only takes a few minutes. And I don't know if that's just they don't care or they just are not aware. I wish I knew.
Well, I know that one of the things that through the Niagara Guide and with your help, we're going to help share the information that you provide to the public on recycling information and how to better sort. And certainly when you're running events, we'll make sure that we let people know that those are coming up. And because that's the kind of thing we do.
Yes.
Anyways, I'm gonna close it off here, but I'm going to put you on the spot for 1 second.
Okay. Ready.
All right. Ready. Tell me what your three favorite songs are.
My three favorite songs. Oh, my goodness. Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill. Oh my gosh. David Bowie, Space Oddity. And the Moody Blues, just about anything the Moody Blues play, but I know you're out there somewhere.
All right. And why Salisbury Hill? Because I'm a Peter Gabriel fan, and that's one of my faves. But, so what resonates with you?
It's like the ultimate song about redemption and acceptance. That, you know, you can, you know, sort of the prodigal son story. It's like you can screw up, but, you know, grab your bags. I'm here to take you home. And it's like, I just find it uplifting that, wow, you can still screw up and somebody will still be there for you.
That sounds an awful lot like most people when it comes to their waste sorting. they're all screwing up. Well, not everybody, but lots of people are screwing up, but you can still change and come home.
Well, that's good. I never thought of it that way, but sure, maybe that's why I love Peter Gabriel so much.
That's fantastic. Well, Jane, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me today, and I look forward to supporting the Eco-Defenders going forward.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Niagara Guide podcast. You can find all of the links we mentioned in the show on our website at www.theniagaraguide.com. To be featured on our podcast, please contact us through the website, and we'll tell you what's required. Tune in next week to learn more about living, working, and playing in Niagara. I'm Mark Kawabi. Thanks again for listening.